Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh,
this is a too big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good afternoon, and how are you guys doing out there in radio world? As always, this is your host, Derek L. Randall, here with Black News Network. Today, we have a special treat, a very, very special treat. I have the privilege and the honor to interview a special guest today, and I'm very privileged and honored. Before I allow our guests to come in, I'm going to do the polite thing and the right thing. I'm going to give a slight introduction, but of course, I will allow our guest to introduce himself in the manner that he chooses to. But I did a little research, so I do want to kind of open it up like this. Mr. Harry C. Alfred is a visionary. He, with the assistance of his wife, Kay, established the Hoosier, you hear my countryness, Hoosier Minority Chamber of Commerce in 1991. In the midst of some resistance, the Alfreds pushed forward. In 1993, Harry and Kay incorporated the National Black Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C. The brick and mortar, or better known as the office, was established in September of 1994. Today, there are 151 active chapters of the Black Chamber of Commerce. In the United States, 40 are in developmental stage and 50 chapters of are offshore. I have attempted to give you an overlay of a 25-year vision. I am positive my accuracy is in some form an injustice. So, without further ado, I would like to welcome the National President of the Black Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Harry Alford. How you doing, Mr. Alford, today?
Doing real fine, Derek. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For having me on your show.
Oh, it's
a nice introduction.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to do some justice, but I know I did an injustice to the most part because it's a 25-year vision, and it has proven to be a positive and a great thing in the community, especially in the Black community. Myself, as well as others that I do business with, find the Black Chamber of Commerce, the one we have now established here in the Manatee County area, a great asset. If you could, Mr. Alford, could you give us a little background on the understanding of the Black Chamber of Commerce and the actual functions of it?
Sure. First, let me say that the Manatee County Black Chamber of Commerce is just super.
Exactly. I agree.
Kay and I were thrilled to go down there and had a very good time. Tarnisha's got it going on. She's a good leader,
yes,
good organizer, and got a lot of good people there.
Yes, sir.
We started the National Black Chamber of Commerce after I was working at the state of Indiana, which is Kay's hometown, as deputy commissioner for minority business development. And my job was to increase the number of contracts that were being let to minority businesses within the state. They were doing less than 1% when I took office. And I wrote a business plan and a marketing plan and started going around the state meeting these businesses and showing them what it takes to win contracts at the state. In the end, after a year and a half, we were at 6.8%, I believe it was, in minority business. So we leaped 600% in a year and a half. And all hell broke loose. The governor and the traditional politicians, the establishment, should I say, they were upset because all these new black companies were taking business away from white companies. But that's the way it is. I mean, it's just like basketball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
on
a level field, we can do this. And we're doing it straight away. No set aside, nothing.
Exactly.
And businesses started growing. And they started putting pressure on us, man. Had state police following me around and following my boys to school. Tires would be flat. There were a lot of things that were going on.
Wow.
I said, okay, they're going to kill us if we don't watch it. The best thing to do is break away and be independent where they can't touch us. And that's what we did. And I went to a bunch of our members who were now doing a lot of business with the state, and I said, listen, we're going to form our own Chamber of Commerce. And I need $500 from each one of you to kick it off. And they did it, and we started the Hoosier Minority Chamber of Commerce with the intent of having a chamber that was called Black. But we just started, you know, wading in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand.
We became the largest business association in the Midwest in 3 months. And so all these people started coming to Indianapolis saying, what's going on here? Because we opened up the airport, we opened up the hospitals, we opened up the school.
Mm-hmm.
We took over the school system procurement, Indianapolis Public Schools. And we had construction managers and engineers coming in and putting offices in Indianapolis and people coming and seeing what was going on. So I said, okay, you know what? We ought to have a national organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to D.C., hired Derek Humphreys, who was an association attorney, and he did his due diligence, and he said, Harry, this plan will work, and no one owns the name National Black Chamber of Commerce. So he inked us, and we applied for a 501c3, and we moved to D.C. with about $5,000 in our pockets and had a fundraiser and raised about $80,000, and that got us going. And now we're strong. We started with 13 original chapters, and now we're strong. We're on our way to 200 chapters, and we have 34 chapters in Africa. We have a big chapter in Colombia, a good chapter in Costa Rica, all of the Caribbean, and we've got a chapter in Paris, France.
Excellent, excellent. And you know what the great thing about the background you just gave me is like a lot of people don't know where the Black Chamber of Commerce came from and how it officially established. So, and mm-hmm. getting to know, you know, from your own words, the visionary who put the vision in play is the, so we now would know and understand. Just a little for myself, I remember when Tanisha first came to me about the Black Chamber of Commerce, I really didn't know what was the assets and the advantages of being in the chamber. Can you kind of elaborate on that for me, Mr. Alford?
Oh, sure. Let me give you an example. Our chapter in the state of Illinois, the president of the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce is Larry Ivory. He's got 23 chapters under his umbrella. He accomplished something last week that he's been working on for years and working with two governors.
Mm-hmm.
And the present governor finally said, okay, let's do it. And what that was to analyze every industry that the state buys from, construction, mm-hmm. engineering, widgets, you know, flooring, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is 20% minority. And if an industry is lacking in that and not doing, let's say they're doing 8%,
mm-hmm.
then the governor will come in and set aside an amount equal to 20% that would be bidded on only by minorities.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
That, we're talking about $300 million extra a year for the state
wow.
of Illinois. That's
excellent.
Making millionaires and has thousands
right.
of jobs. That's why you need the Black Chamber of Commerce. Someone's
exactly.
got to speak for us.
Exactly.
As
exactly.
the new saying is, black money matters, you know?
Right. I totally agree. And I really appreciate the fact that you made that more transparent for those that may not know and understand. It's actually a big advantage and a benefit to have a Chamber of Commerce, but to have a Black Chamber of Commerce for the Black culture and the Black community is an excellence.
Someone has to speak for us. There's Hispanic
right.
chambers. There's the Asian Business League. There's the Italian Business League. The Greeks had their own business association. Everybody does, but
right.
we didn't. So
right.
I took the model from Booker T. Washington,
mm-hmm.
who formed the National Negro Business League back in 1902. Now, keep in mind, this is 10 years before the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And he had about 39 wow. chapters, and eventually he died unexpectedly and quickly, and I think I know why.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Exactly. I totally get where you're going with that. The thing I will say to you, Mr. Alford, I have to say this. I have to interject this now. I am very, very appreciative that you've seen this vision and carried it out, because just in hearing the numbers in this conversation we're having, and we haven't even went too deep into it, but it is a profound need for it. And I appreciate the fact that you was able to see a vision and carry it out, and it inspires me. It really does. I just want to thank you. But I do know it's a topic that we really need to hit on, and I know you want to talk about it. I'm actually excited to hear about it myself. You have an upcoming convention for the National Black Chamber of Commerce. Is that correct?
That's right. It's our 24th annual convention, and it's being held in New Orleans at the Hilton Riverside, and we're going to be holding sessions at the New Orleans Port Authority. We want to introduce people to ports. There's trillions of dollars coming out of our ports,
mm-hmm.
and none
mm-hmm.
of us, many of us don't know that there is business over there to be had, all types of businesses. So we start July the 20th with our reception,
mm-hmm.
and then we have workshops and panels. And then on Saturday, we have our International Day, where our African and South American and Caribbean brothers will come and give their presentations and meet all of us and let us know what's going on in their countries. And speaking of ports,
mm-hmm.
Carnival Cruise Line, which is the largest cruise line there is, Carnival, Arnold Donald is the CEO of that company, and he
mm-hmm.
is a brother.
Mm,
and he'll be coming to keynote speak. Yeah, he'll be coming
great.
To keynote speak.
And
he's
I didn't
got,
know that. Until I seen it, I'm sorry, I didn't know that until I seen it on actually the website for your event. I didn't never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on Carnival Cruises and everything.
Yeah. And they do procurement too. So also the U.S. Department of Energy is coming to
mm-hmm.
talk about
great.
Current projects. and potential contracts, bids, that people can bid on. And they'll be there. We've got, for Capital Access, we've got one company, Tilt Forward, that will be bringing $2 million worth of lending money. And you can apply there. If you've got a credit score of 500 or more, if you've been in business for over a year, and if you're doing over $100,000 a year in business, then you can apply and you could be processed in 2 days. Anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000.
Outstanding. So this sounds like a very great, great weekend. A lot of great things will be happening. So to all our listeners out there, get out. It's July the 20th through the 24th in New Orleans. So I've been to New Orleans. I actually was stationed in Louisiana when I was in the military. It's a great place with a lot of hospitality. Get out to New Orleans. Go out to the National Black Chamber of Commerce. Was the 24th? I'm sorry. I don't want to say the wrong thing. 24th or
July
25th?
July 23rd.
I'm sorry.
23rd.
And in New Orleans at the Convention Center. Sounds like a great experience. I'm actually looking at my calendar now to see if I can make it myself.
Come on.
I'm telling you, Mr. Alfred, I really do. I love being in the midst of positive people, and especially when it's my people. I just get a high off that for myself. And speaking on that, with the current events going on now that we see with the events with the police and the relations of America and the black community, what is your take, your insight, being in a position that you're in a position to oversee a lot of things as well as a CEO and a president, but also to be in direct contact with our community and know what's going on? What is your take on it?
I think we went back to the 1960s. I mean, we're going back to the same old fights. It's a shame. I think we're losing our religion, and I think we need to love everybody. And let's just take some deep breaths and back up and say we're all God's children, and let's treat ourselves that way.
Yeah.
And I think we need a little better leadership, I must say it, from the White House. Because after he gets out there and starts talking to everybody, and everybody's mad and upset. There's something wrong with that style.
Yeah. It's a little hands off. I mean, I'm going to play as safe as possible. I've come to identify with what you're saying myself over the last couple of days or so, just watching how this whole scenario has played out. Words are profound. They are. They are. And I mean, he's an eloquent speaker. But at some point, we have to have something else interject. And I totally agree with you on that. I just, you know, I enjoy the fact of talking to you here, and I enjoy talking with open individuals that are trying to do something positive, and at the same time are understanding that it's not just about the whole. We as a culture, as the black culture, have to look out for ourselves if we think anybody else is going to look out for us. I mean, you have to take care of home before you can openly just assume that everybody else sees your benefit. You have to have your own benefit in mind. Do you have anything else that you want to share, Mr. Alfred? I don't want to hold you long. I know you're a busy man, so I don't want to hold you long, but I did want to get those three things in there.
Yeah, I think Billie Holiday said it best, God bless the child who has his own.
Exactly.
So if you're an entrepreneur, God bless you. Go out there and get it. If you fall down, get back up, go again. My father told me, look at your uncles and aunts and look at the ones who own businesses. They're the ones who have the wealth and the family. The others are paying a mortgage and paying a car note and going along. But the entrepreneur, that's the one that's going to be blessed.
Yep. I totally agree with you, Mr. Alfred. And I think it's the same sentiment. I was raised in kind of the same environment where we knew we had to get up and get it for ourselves. I tried to exemplify that today, maybe to rub off on those around me, because I've seen it so much around me growing up, it rubbed off on me. So I hope I'm doing it in a great manner. I know for a fact, if no one has told you, I would like to send you the sentiment that you are. You are a positive and a profound image for the black community. And if nobody else has told you, thank you, and I'm sure they have, I want to thank you. I think your vision and the understanding of implementing a black chamber of commerce for our culture and for just the overall societal standpoint for everyone. I mean, because it don't just because it's the black chamber of commerce doesn't mean it doesn't help outside entities. it helps us all, but it does look make sure we're okay, and I appreciate that, and I thank you very, very much for that.
Yeah, well, we're the piece of the puzzle known as America.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mr. Alfred. If you don't have anything else, I want to hold you up. I know you're a busy man. Continue to do great things. And like I said, I'm going to look at my calendar. I'm going to try to get that. I want to shake your hand in person and personally.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. Okay, Mr. Randall, talk to you.
Thank you.
God bless
you. Have a good one, Mr. Alfred.
Bye-bye.
Yes, guys, that was a great, 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 great conversation with a great individual that's doing great things. These are the kind of things and conversations we need to collect. We need to get it out there that these kind of things are going on. We have these kind of individuals present in our communities and involved in the things we're doing, and we have to let it be known. We have to share with each other. With that being said, I'm going to play some music, and if you decide to stay with me, you can. If not, yeah, you can leave, but I'll be here for a minute. I haven't decided how long I'm going to stay. I enjoy being on radio. You guys know that. You know that. So after talking to Mr. Alfred, I think this would be a great, 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 great song to go into. Check it out.
Take it. Everybody thinks we're wrong. Mother, who are they to judge us? Mother, mother, simply call me sweet where I am. Mother, mother,
apologize. I haven't been on air all this time. I never hit back on the live button. I've just been talking to. I know you guys are like, what? What's going on? I've just been talking up something. Anyway, recently, last night, I seen a documentary. I watched a documentary on 30 for 30, Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. It's called Doc and Daryl. And I recently wrote something, and I think it plays into what I seen watching this documentary, which is, it was strange for me because I really don't get a lot of time now to sit down and watch TV like I used to. So yesterday I was in a place where I sat down for a minute and the TV caught my attention, and in catching my attention, this was on 30 for 30, Doc and Daryl. And I wrote this today, but it didn't transpire to me to after talking to Mr. Alford that it plays into each other. It takes each member of a community working together to reflect the village. And understanding that, I'm going to tell you how I pulled that into what me watching the 30 for 30 documentary. Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry were two at the time most popular baseball players and professional sports players in the world. And they were in the sports mecca. They were in New York. They didn't happen to be for the Yankees, but this is how profound they were. They were for the Mets, which at that time was considered one of the lowball teams. Well, they made the Mets D team over the Yankees because they were so good at the time. And in 1983, Daryl Strawberry came on the scene, won Rookie of the Year. In 1984, Dwight Gooden was drafted. He won Rookie of the Year. As a pitcher, they called him Doc because he was striking out. I think he striked out 16 batters that year. The next year, he went on to strike out 20. So, profound, I mean, careers at that point. As their careers transpired, what I was watching in the documentary and why I go back to it takes everyone in the village. I mean, it takes everyone in the community to make a village is this. When the Mets were winning, they were winning the way they played ball. They was a rugged, pretty scrappy team. They would fight. They would get at you. But you knew they were never out of it. Some may say that's not the way to do it. Some may say that's the way you can do it. Some may disagree or agree. However, you look at it, the Mets won the World Series that year. And saying that, I'm saying it to say this. When they were all on the same page doing the same thing, regardless if it was right or wrong, they were able to achieve something. Years later, as the story plays out, we come to find out that Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden really wasn't that close of friends. I think we all always assumed that Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry were close friends, but they really wasn't. But they did have one thing in common. They liked the party. They liked it being in New York, and they could play baseball. However, the partying and having fun kind of overweighed their abilities at some point. And we've seen a downfall. We've seen Daryl Strawberry go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and we've seen Doc Gooden get suspended. Actually, from the lead, from baseball, from National Baseball League. He was suspended out on two occasions, if I'm not mistaken. However, what we did see, at some point in time, they came back together for the Yankees. The Yankees, the New York Yankees, Steinbrenner, actually went out and got Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden together at the same time and put them on the Yankees, and they both careers thrived at that point. My point is this. no matter what situation you're in, no matter what obstacles are against you, when you work together, regardless of if you are close friends or if you are just associates, when you work together and you're working for the same objective goal, or I can't say objective goal, that's the same thing, I apologize. The overall objective, when you work for the same overall objective, and it's a collective understanding, you don't have to necessarily agree on how to get there as long as you are willing to go there together. And that's what we see. That's what we see in that 30 for 30. For me, that's what I see. That's what I took from it. And I understand they were a village. Regardless of what kind of village it was, regardless if you liked it, it was a village. It was a village that was progressive and it was successful, honestly, at the end of the day. When it was with the Mets, years later we find out they didn't necessarily know for sure that they were we thought they were friends, and we found out years later that they weren't necessarily close friends, but because they all was on the same page doing the same thing, regardless if it was partying all night and playing baseball during the day, they got something done. And I'm not promoting what some may say is a negative aspect, because what you may do and what I may do may be totally different. But if you're fine with it and it works for you, that works for me. All I'm promoting is collective understanding within a conflictual environment. Sometimes that happens. I think it's a good thing because that's the only way you learn. All I'm saying to you is for us to get there, for us to achieve the things we have to do, and for us to be the profound, inspirational essence of our community, we have to do it together. It's not going to be done any other way. If you can't take anything from it, check out that 30 for 30. Check it out. Check it out and see how the essence of their love for baseball and their understanding for, okay, if you're doing it, I'm doing it, we all going to go down together, got them to where they needed to be. Yeah, maybe in the end it didn't turn out how everybody thought it would, but it worked. It worked for them in that moment. And sometimes that's all we have is that moment. As I said, and I continue to say, I'm not promoting anything that I wouldn't affiliate myself with. I said it like this, and then I'm going to get out of here and let you guys enjoy your weekend. I ain't always been the guy that's sitting here right now talking on this radio. I've always been Derek. At some point in time, though, Derek was deterred from the actual true essence of himself. And in understanding that, and knowing that I fell short at some point, and may fall short today or tomorrow, will fall short today, and will fall short tomorrow, I understand that it ain't for me to point out somebody else falling short. It's for me to help. It's for me to give the example of letting you know I fell too. Now let me give me your hand, get up, and let's do this together. Because I got a little insight. I fell once before. Now I can help you. Instead of stepping on you and holding you down, pick each other up. With that understanding, as always, guys, I enjoyed my interview today with Mr. Harry C. Alford, the president of the National Black Chamber of Commerce. I appreciate him coming in and giving me that interview. I appreciate that. Also, I want to send a shout out to Mrs. Tonisha Clyatt, the president, founder, and CEO of the Manatee County Black Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for that opportunity. I appreciate you. That's the example I'm talking about, working together, getting things done. With that, you guys be safe this weekend. Drink a lot of water. It's hot out there. I told you I was going to get a safety briefing. Drink a lot of water. It's hot out there. Stay out of dangerous places at late at night. Be in pairs. Have safe sex. Don't swim alone. Swim with someone. Hey, take care of each other. That's all I can tell you. Take care of each other. With that, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out. Check you guys later. Be easy.
Take your time. police gon' pull me over with this herb off in my ride. So I had to bring under the armrest, under the leather. And they gotta start other ways to make my life a little bit better than the dope peddler. Never to pay no taxes. Taking the tuck up out of my checks and make my rhymes just look like practice. Buying clothing, ring clothing with my folks. Don't speak about the dead inside my crew, ain't bout no jokes. I know some people don't like the way we flow because they envy. They talking about they bought their mom that they could have been me. You looking to be the butterfly without the caterpillar. Take your time and do it right, cause you gon' make it. I swear my all collapse. One, falling a victim to your grief. Why? You looking to be Big Willie, but you still a sleep. Why? The information in my skull be poking. Some of y'all on the shoulder, but the other side of the fence, they got y'all breaking bold as fuck with money.
Struggling just a part of my day. Many obstacles have been placed in my way. I know the only reason that I make it through is because I never stop believing in you. Some people wonder why we here in the first place. They can't believe that they ain't ever seen your face. But even when you pray that they say you gotta try, can't wait for nobody to come down out the sky. You got to realize that the world is dead. You can only do your best and let them do the rest. You got your life, you got your health, but we're procrastinating and pushing yourself. You got to realize that the world is dead.
Can't you see?
Mama, mama, can't you see?
What these folk done did to me?
What these folk done did to me?
I now on the count of three.
I on the count of three.
Lord, it's time to get free.
Two, three.
Make a joyful noise, you've outcast it. Meaning, now you have a choice like that.